It's time now for The Best of Ourselves with Marcia Hyatt. Good morning, Marcia.
Good morning, CJ.
How are you?
It's wonderful. Wonderful. Good. I'm working and being in the present moment today.
Always a good thing.
Always a good way to spend a day. Yes. To actually show up for it. Yes. Well, I want to talk today about vulnerability and different ways that we protect ourselves from it. This is from Brené Brown's brand new book, Daring Greatly. Yeah, it's a great book. And I was reading it the other night and thinking, wow, there I am. And as she was talking about different forms of armor that we use to keep ourselves from the experience of vulnerability, we can never, vulnerability is part of the human condition. And it is the core and the heart of meaningful human experiences. You know, when you allow yourself, open yourself up, you can have a much stronger connection, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up in a family where we didn't do vulnerability. There's no room for it. I think most of us in my family have very tender hearts, but don't let that show. So I grew up with a single mother, raised four kids in the 50s. It was a very hard time. And one of the things that she did was put this armor on that, quote unquote, kept her safe, but it also kept her from connecting in many, many ways. And of course, as her children, I think we've inherited some of these things. But then I was reading and Daring Greatly about the common forms of armor we wear to keep ourselves from being hurt. And I thought it was just me. And it wasn't. It isn't. And she said most people that she interviewed had these three I want to talk about. And there are many other forms, but these are pretty common. Now, the first one I thought, oh, this isn't me, is it? It's called foreboding joy.
Ooh.
You know how kids, they just leap into joy, arms wide, head back. What happens to us to keep ourselves safe is we try to protect ourselves, in case something's going to go wrong, right? So she said when she interviewed people, she was shocked when she said, "What makes you feel vulnerable?" And people said, moments of joy, like standing over my sleeping child and, admiring them, or having a baby, or getting engaged, or knowing how good I've got it, that triggers, how do I hold on to it? How do I keep safe? So many of us have spent a lot of time sort of disaster planning, it's right. Okay, everything's good now, but how do I keep safe?
The other shoe.
Yes, exactly.
Perpetual.
The other shoe. Just, okay, it's fine now, but this kid could get hurt. How am I going to keep this kid from getting hurt? Or I could get hurt if I just got engaged, or it may not work out. And so it evokes this scenario planning. And she did a lot of interviews to gather this data, and she talked about one man who was very much waiting for the other shoe to drop kind of approach. Always sort of like, if they go on vacation, what could go wrong, and maybe we should take separate planes because, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's very common, apparently. I thought it was just me. I'm so happy that to understand that this is a way to keep us from really fully experiencing joy, because we're vulnerable when we are in it. Because, like I said, the other shoe. So this man she interviewed, he said he was very much that way. And he would always try to disaster plan. And he had a car accident in which his wife died. And he said, you know what? All that scenario planning, all that thing I did to protect myself, it didn't make any difference whatsoever. What it did do was keep me from being present in the moment and the moments of joy that I had with her. So he said, I've now made a commitment to her legacy that I will not block joy. I will experience it and the vulnerability that goes with it. So the interesting thing is, what's the antidote to this? Gratitude practice. When she talked to people that were resilient and she calls wholehearted, all of them had a way of remembering to acknowledge what was in their life, the beauty around them, the moments of appreciation. And this goes back to that research on positive emotion too. It has a huge impact on the quality or our ability to experience joy if we just stop and notice, because we have a lot more positive moments in our day than the negative. But we're just worried, right? So that's one. The first one's foreboding joy. The second one is perfectionism. So if I just do everything perfectly, you can't judge me. If I do everything perfectly, I'll be okay. No, it'll somehow all be good if I do it, if I dot every I and do it to the ninth degree. So it's not the same as striving for excellence. It's a defensive move, right? It's a protective move. I don't want to feel vulnerable, which I am. So I try to just minimize the pain and the blame and the shame and the judgment. And it's not the same as self-improvement. I mean, I'm all for, as you know, all for growing as a human being, but I'm doing it so I can show up as my best self. I'm not doing it for self approval, or excuse me, for approval from others, right? I'm doing it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So the antidote to perfectionism is self-compassion. If you can catch yourself in that, like just the push and the drive, and what is that all about? And what would be good enough?
Mm.
And also the ability to go there, you know, that. So I had, for example, yesterday I had a brief conference call in which, you know, when you hang up the phone, sometimes you think, ah, I should have said this and I should have said that. And I was just, you know, and I didn't do it perfectly. And I noticed it. And so I called up all that I've learned from Kristen Neff and Brené Brown and all these wonderful teachers and just said, oh, yeah, it's painful when you don't show up like you want to show up. Yeah, and that's okay. And feel it. Mm-hmm. Don't deny it. Don't. First thing I was going to do is run downstairs and look for some sugar. But I just noticed it, felt it, and then, you know, did whatever I could to sort of, okay, it was what I did. It was good enough. It's what I did in the moment. And then the question is there anything I want to do now with it?
Mm-hmm.
But noticing it is really important, and then evoking that self-compassionate, your own best friend voice, right? The third one, numbing. Okay, so we've got foreboding joy, perfectionism. These are the top three. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are many, many more.
Mm-hmm.
But numbing, what deadens the pain or the discomfort, and we all numb our feelings, even those of us who are resilient and wholehearted. And the thing about any numbing that we do is you can't selectively numb. So
right.
So if you're trying to numb the pain and the bad stuff, you're also going to numb the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, if this is a, you know, chapter on addiction, maybe I don't have to read this or this section, but it was so right on for me because it's whatever you do to take the edge off, right? To not fully experience what's happening in your day, in your life. So it's anything from, of course, the usual with, you know, the drugs and alcohol and
food,
yep, sugar, activity.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorites. The glass of wine while I'm making dinner, just to kind of help me change gears. Takes the edge off.
Of everything. Yeah.
So then I'm not fully present when it comes to sit down to the dinner or, you know, what, mm-hmm. what could happen afterwards. And so when she talks about numbing, the antidote for that is learning to notice the feeling and to acknowledge it. And this goes back to the earlier thing about self-compassion, mm-hmm. because if I'm going to feel it, I have to also have a way to be compassionate with myself for feeling it. So the folks that she found that were resilient, they all had numbing, but what they had to do was be mindful of it, notice it, and notice that they had a choice about it. They don't always make the choice, but they did sometimes. So if you're trying to reduce anxiety by activity or by eating, and when I had that bad call, first thing, go downstairs, find some marshmallows because it's
chocolate.
Chocolate. I wish I had chocolate, but I don't in the house because I know what I'll do with it. So the thing is about vulnerability is that it is the ultimate act of courage to really allow yourself to show up and be seen. And most of us, paradoxically, don't want you to see my vulnerability, but I'd like to see yours.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that makes me connected to
right,
you, right?
Right?
I mean, I don't connect to someone that's quote-unquote perfect. I connect with people that are whole, you know, mm-hmm. which is the shadow and the light.
Right.
So the question we need to keep asking ourselves is, are the choices I'm making in my day nourishing my spirit or temporary relief from vulnerability? Are they leading to wholeheartedness or are they leading to emptiness or searching? Let me end with a quote from Brené Brown from the book Daring Greatly. She says, "I can honestly say that nothing is as uncomfortable, dangerous, and hurtful as believing that I am standing on the outside of my life looking in and wondering, what would it be like if I had the courage to show up and let myself be seen?"
Oh, great.
May we all learn how to be more wholehearted.
Thank you, Marcia.